Seeing your own behavior is almost impossible, because when you look for your behavior, it's your behavior that's looking for behavior, so it doesn't see itself. And as I was saying, it's like looking in the mirror and you see a reflection, but that isn't all of you. That's a reflection of part of you, a reflection of your basic physical being, but that's not who you are. Who you are is reflected in your physical, but who you are is much, much more than the physical. The physical is really just to carry you around and to have physical experiences, but it's not who you are. So seeing the behavior is almost impossible, unless you're totally devoted to it as your absolute priority in life. That's what life is about. First, behavior. Secondary, whatever else is going on the outside. But first, behavior. That's your focus all the time. Something is watching what you do and how you do it, what you say and how you say it, and what you're thinking and how you're thinking it. That's your priority every moment. When that becomes what your life is about, everything starts to move in a different way. Life becomes very different. Depths and depths to life that you didn't really understand. The main thing is that somewhere there's a yes to seeing who you really are. So there's a yes. Yes, I want feedback. Yes, I want to hear what people really think about me. Yes. Now, when there's a yes, you're moving. And life is movement. That's what life is. Actually, even when you're standing still, you're moving. But most people are holding. And with the holding, the life energy is backing up behind it. That's how people get ill. Somebody was just telling me, they're a psychic consultant, and they were telling them that she has 5 people consulting her at the moment that have cancer. And in each situation, she sees exactly how they've got themselves cancer. They haven't been living their truth. They haven't been living life. They've been compromising. They've been trying to have what they want to have rather than what life is saying, this is what you need. Which in the case of relating, living with a partner, could be you need to go deeper and deeper and deeper and be more vulnerable, or it might be saying, this is no longer appropriate for you. You need to move. Same with your job, same with where you live, same with everything. You need to keep listening. What is what we will call life, which is actually your deeper self? What is life telling me now? And listen to that and be available to that and let it happen. It's not even a matter of letting go. It's a matter of not holding, and the stream of life will move, which is how you got here. You listened beyond logic, and here you are. So what I was saying is the main thing is open. Yes, I'm ready to hear anything that anybody has to say. It doesn't matter whether what they say is true or not. It doesn't matter. This is how they're seeing me, and they might be seeing something about me that I'm not seeing. So I'm going to listen. And take it as though it is true. It doesn't matter whether it's true or not, but I am going to take that on and look at it their way. And if it's not true, it'll drop away all on its own. And if it's true, it'll usually shake you up. Usually, when you're resisting something and you hear the truth. You see, you don't get angry at a lie. You get angry at the truth. It might only be a little bit of truth, But that truth is like a little worm that digs in and hits you a vulnerable place. So you get angry. You get angry because it's true, not because it's a lie. If it's a lie, you say, "Ah, that's not me." You know it's not you. So you get upset, you contract, you resist, because there's truth in there. And you don't want to know. You want to be the way you think you want to be. And nobody is. Hardly anybody is who they are. They're acting, they're behaving. So, the main thing is, I'm going to stay open. Now, sometimes you won't. Sometimes somebody will say something that cuts so deep, you just suddenly find yourself collapsing, contracting, resisting, getting angry. It doesn't matter. As long as you've got overriding, I'm going to keep looking, I'm going to keep looking. It doesn't matter that you contract in that moment. You'll get over it, providing you keep looking. So then we come to this place that I keep being asked about and I keep saying, and we keep not getting over. So people say, how can I change? You can't. You cannot. And human beings hate being helpless. They hate it. Almost as much as they hate change. They don't like it. They want, all they want is their life as it is, undisturbed, to feel better. That's what they want. And the way you're feeling now, if it's uncomfortable, is because of where you are, how you are, who you're with, what you're doing. Your life is producing that feeling because that's what you're doing. And if you keep doing it, it's probably going to stay the same. That doesn't mean to say if you're in a relationship that's not harmonious, it can't be harmonious, no. But it means if you're in that relationship in the same way as you have been, it's going to stay the same way as it has been. Something needs to change. So how can you change? You can't. The very part of you that says, I want to change, means, in fact, I don't want to change, but I want to feel better the way I am. And when it says, I want to change, who is saying I want to change? It's actually the behavior that doesn't want to change. But it's saying, okay, let's say I want to change, but it's not going to change. Because the very neurotic part of you that needs to change is the neurotic part of you that says, I need to change. And it doesn't. So when people feel bad, uncomfortable, depressed, contracted, angry, people who are a little bit more awake, they immediately say, how can I feel better? That's one level. Or they might say, how can I not feel angry because it's not good to be angry? Or how can I... But what it's all saying is, and this is the big key, how can I not be who I am now in this moment? And you can't. You are who you are in this moment. That's it. That's all there is. Anything else is the mind saying, how can I be different in the future? It doesn't matter if the future is 10 seconds. It's still the future. And nothing happens in the future, ever. If anything happens, it happens now. And if you're not here now, you're not going to see. You're not going to feel. You're not going to know. So when you say, I don't want to be angry, what that is actually saying is, I don't know what this anger is. Because as soon as you know what the anger is, as soon as you've experienced your anger to its depth, it's gone. So you are feeling something uncomfortable that you don't want to feel, so you're looking, how can I get out of this discomfort? But you don't know what the discomfort is. And the only reason you're feeling discomfort is because you need to feel the discomfort in order for it to transform. It can't transform until you really, really have that experience. You've got to hit the bottom. You've got to go right down to the very depths. And when you get to the very depths, suddenly it's all over. Because you don't need it anymore. You've seen it. You've recognized it. You've accepted. You're with it. You've balanced that level in you. And it'll never come back the same again. Ever. But again, the human system says, I don't want to have anything I don't want to have. And it's saying, I don't want this medicine. It tastes bad. But if you don't have the experience that you need to have, you're not going to move. You're going to stay on this wheel of continually having the same experience into your life over and over and over until you say, okay, I'll have this experience. I'll have this experience without looking for a way out. I'll acknowledge that I'm looking for a way out. I'll acknowledge that I don't want to feel like this. And I'll allow myself to feel like this. I will have this feeling. This is all keyed, in a way, to complaint. Complaint. The key to being free is about complaint. You see, when you are in that situation of discomfort, it's actually complaint. It's actually, no, I do not want this. It's a complaint. So the complaint is a resistance, and the resistance is the source of misery. No resistance, no misery. That means even if somebody's pointing a gun at you to kill you, no resistance, no misery. You'll be, oh, so I wonder what's going to happen. I'm helpless. I can't possibly do anything. They're too far away to reach. I'll look them in the eyes and experience dying. Here, now, yes. Another experience. Whatever it is. So that's the extreme. But the other is, this person has just told me that they don't love me. Now, what's that experience now? So they don't love me. I've contracted. I've gone upset. What's that about? Let me feel this. Yes. Yes to what I'm feeling. I don't feel loved. I don't feel cared for. I don't feel included. I'll experience that. Not to get out of it, but to go into it. Because to get out of it, you've got to make up excuses, and usually it's getting angry at the other person. And denouncing them to such an extent that whatever you say is not valid anyway. You put them down so you don't feel what they're saying, instead of listening, feeling, experiencing what they're saying, and have the experience. All based on fear. Usually the fear of being a child, being abandoned. So usually it's based on when you're a baby, you're helpless, you can't look after yourself. So when you get hungry or you get dirty, you have to let people know. So you cry and you scream and you do these things to get people's attention. You react in some way because you're helpless. But then we go on through life acting as though we're helpless. I need your love in order for me to be whole. That isn't true. You don't need anybody else's love. You need to see yourself clearly and accept yourself. When I say accept yourself, I'm not talking about accepting yourself as a beautiful being. I'm talking about, even if you're a shit, accepting yourself. I'm a shit. That's right. That's who I am. I'll be a shit. I'll take a look at that. In fact, I'll exaggerate it a bit so I can see it more clearly. This is who I am, and I am going to have this experience. Because we're not helpless anymore. We're acting as though we're helpless. We're acting as though we need something from the outside, and we don't need anything from the outside. Everybody listening to this, and you and I now, we're not going to starve to death. We can take care of ourselves. There is nothing basic to fear. What we're fearing is fantasies from the past. We don't need other people's acceptance. It's lovely to be loved. It's lovely, but we don't need it. Once you have seen yourself, accepted yourself, not changed, not become a beautiful person, see yourself, accept yourself as you are, you're complete. You don't need anybody else. You'll never be lonely. You're just complete. You know. You don't need anything else. Complete. For that, you've got to be in the moment. Be here now, unconditionally. Unconditionally means including your conditions, because we all have conditions all the time. Include them and don't go there. Whatever you're experiencing, whatever it is, have the experience as it is. Keep having the experience. Keep having the experience. Don't do anything. Don't make it go deeper. Don't suppress it. Don't express it. Don't cure it. Have it. Experience. Because that is what you've given yourself in order to cure yourself. That is your stem cell. You need to have that experience. And as soon as you've had that experience, unconditionally, you've gone to the very depth of that experience, you'll never have it again because you don't need it. You only get what you need. And life is showering on us all the time what we need. But we don't see because we keep looking for what our neurosis tells us we want. But as Marilyn Monroe sang, after you get what you want, you don't want what you want at all. Because it doesn't work. Your wants don't work. They never satisfy. Oh, I want a new car. You get your new car. Wonderful. You look at it for 2 or 3 days, and you don't see it after that. You're not grateful for it. Oh, I want a partner. I want my sex to be better. I want money. But look at the people that have money. Look at the people that are good looking. How many delightfully happy, grateful people do you see anywhere? Very, very few. Because what you want doesn't give you what you think you want. But life is always giving you exactly, exactly, exactly what you need. Always. Every single moment is perfect. Exactly what you need. But of course, if you're not here, you're not seeing what you need. I don't want this person to be like that to me. But this person is like that to you because you've created that person in your life to be like that to you so you can see more clearly that part of yourself and embrace it. Say, ah, that's right. That's what I do. That's how I am. And this is what I'm producing in my life. It all comes back in a way. This is another branch of that is, I've just written about that just now and sent something out about it. How whole life is orientated towards taking. As that little baby, it needed the breast or the bottle. It needed it. It needed it because it was going to die without it. It needed it. And our whole orientation is after that is more. I want more, I want more, I want more of everything. I want more love and more possessions and more money and more sex and more possessions. I want more, more, more. But we don't stop and say, but look what we've got compared to 100 years ago. Look at our phones and our computers and our internet and our television and look at all this. And we're not happier. In fact, we're more miserable. But the whole orientation is more. I want more. And so pretty well everybody in almost every moment is taking. How much can I take from this situation? What can I get from this situation. It might only be the attention of this person listening to my story, but it's still taking. It's not giving. So we're totally out of balance. We're obese. We're stuffing ourselves. And again, what science is saying, and psychics are saying, is if you keep taking and not balancing that with sharing, you're out of balance. And your body will physically react to that. You'll get ill. Physically, emotionally, mentally. Well, let's look at it one day. What is giving? In one way, giving is not taking. In another way, giving is taking. So I'm going to explain that. You see, when you say, this is good, when you say, what is giving? You see, what the mind is saying is, what am I going to do in the future? You can't do anything in the future because there isn't one. This is what I keep trying to say, and I know it doesn't get over. There isn't a future. There is no future. And there's no past, but that's another thing. There is no future. There is only now. And there is no exception. No matter what happens anywhere, it always happens now. It doesn't happen in the future. It can't happen in the future. The mind can say, oh yes, if I do this, this is going to happen in the future. But no, that's the mind projecting this moment as it is into a possible future. But no future is fixed. None. As I was just sending, I'm about to send out today, somebody who was absolutely terminally cancer, had every treatment that science could give, and they didn't die. But everybody said, nobody's ever lived with this situation. Nobody. And this person does. I met somebody like that who had a brain degenerating situation. Nobody's ever, ever lived. And they did. So we project a future based on our past, what we've been told and what's possible and impossible. But that has nothing to do with reality. The only thing that has to do with reality is now. The sound of that car, the sound of that bird, us here together. This is all there is. This is all there is. Now, there are depths to this moment about which we may not be aware. There may be beings here who are not physically manifest. There may be. There might be a flying saucer hovering above that we can't see. There might be parallel universes happening. All of these things could be happening. But when they happen now. Everything is now. And if you're fully here, present, unconditionally, if there is something to share, you will respond. You just said to me outside, if ever you have anything to share with me, we're sitting here now and we're sharing. So you shared your moment, and this responded to your moment. And actually, you see, it's not giving. It's just sharing. You shared something that you felt you needed. This responded to share with you. But it's not actually giving anything, because in a way I'm not going to go into now. We're not separate. Our separateness is only an illusion. This person sitting opposite is me. We're all me. We're all you. Everybody, everything. We're all the trees, the wood, the tables, the chairs. The separation is the way our mind has been programmed to see things as a convenience in this dimension. but it's very possible we're living in other dimensions simultaneously where things are very different. Already on this planet, we have millions, billions of different realities. People who see things in a totally different way. You meet a fundamental Christian or a fundamental Jew or a fundamental Muslim. They're living on a different planet. Their whole reality is totally different. Now, there are some people that we know that are living on what we would call heaven. They're living in harmony. They're living in joy. They're living in gratefulness. The same planet that we're living on, they experience totally differently. Totally differently. And usually, it's people whose lives have reoriented. They've had the realization about sharing. It's not even giving. Giving is a form of taking. It's a balance. It's suddenly, all my family need things. I'm going to respond. Not to do good, a good person, go to heaven when I die, but because in this moment, I really don't have a choice. When I was in Hong Kong, there was an English woman who was pregnant, and she fainted in the post office, lost consciousness, fell to the floor, and the Chinese just stepped over and carried on, left her on the floor. There are many, many such cases. Now, you and I couldn't do that. We couldn't do it. We couldn't walk away and leave her there, could we? But there are people that can. Well, there is another level as well. When they look into anybody, the shopkeeper, somebody walking down the street, they're totally available to share whatever is appropriate. If the person isn't open, there's nothing to appropriate to respond to. But if they're open, we met somebody yesterday, the day before. We met somebody. We went to buy some furniture. And we weren't sure, and we said, oh, we'll go away and have some coffee. And she said, oh, where do you go for coffee? We said, well, our favorite place has closed down. She says, I have trouble as well because I'm a vegan. I've just become a vegan. And suddenly, this whole conversation happened. And this was an incredibly beautiful woman. And she said, oh, I've been looking for cooking class. Oh, I know somebody who does raw food and things. And suddenly, there was a response there. And this person lit up, and we were so happy to be able to share with them. In each moment, everybody, even if you're walking past, you never know. Sometimes when I'm in Lismore, I've talked about this before, there are carers there that take people who have physical and mental disabilities. They take them round town in wheelchairs, and and often I look at this carer and just feel so much gratefulness that they're taking care of my brothers and sisters. And I go and tell them. And they're always so amazed that somebody is saying thank you for looking after these people. They're just, people don't do that. But these incredible people who are not only looking after people with mental disabilities, but taking them into the street, a whole bunch of them, and having to look after all of them and make sure they don't walk into the traffic. Or amazing people. But they don't know they're doing good. They don't know that. That's who they are. That's what's natural to them. They are fulfilling their lives by being available to these people. And we can all be available to each other in each moment. We can all do that. Whatever we're doing, wherever we are, even if with thoughts, you just think of somebody, oh, they've just lost their partner, or one of their children, they've just, and you just think, ah, oh, or they've lost their money or something. And you just think about, you're sending them energy. You're sending them support. So you say, how can you give in each moment? That's all there is. Being present, being available, being unconditional. You've just got a ticket to a concert that was expensive and hard to get, and somebody needs you. You're there. The concert, the ticket is gone because this person needs you. You respond to the situation. Respond to the situation unconditionally in the moment. And then I've just written, I haven't sent out yet. Life is so wonderful, the brain can't even imagine it. It can't imagine it. Because when the brain imagines anything, it looks within the confines of the brain. And that's all based on the past. And this other state has nothing to do with the past. Well, not the past that we remember. It's a totally different state. Whole different way of experiencing and being. And you have this great advantage that there's somebody living just down the road who lives in that state. It's very, very rare to meet someone who's unconditional. When somebody comes, when the council comes and says, you can't go on renting these buildings because they haven't been approved, she goes, oh, all right. And then they say, well, okay, we'll give you a few months. You see, if she'd have fought, they'd have said, close it down now. But she didn't. She said, oh, all right. So let's see what we can... Her openness, her yes, her unconditionally availability changed the situation. To counsel people, and they're very difficult. Change the situation, change the reality. But even if it didn't, it wouldn't make any difference. Yes. Respond to the situation. Not against them. Would you like a cup of tea before you go? Being nice to them, even although it doesn't matter. And then you start to create a whole new level of reality around you. Present, unconditional. And remember, unconditional includes your conditions. Because we all have conditions. Include them. Just don't follow up on them. Don't energize them. Don't deny them. Don't try and cure them. Don't activate them. Oh, I have a condition there. Yes. Oh, I've just contracted. Yes. I'm not how I want to be. Yes. I'm not how this other person wants to be. Definitely yes. It's very simple. Simple. It's not easy. It's almost impossible. That's why hardly anybody at all reaches what is possible for every human being. Some easier, some more difficult. But everybody is that. It's just how much energy you're going to put into it. What's your priority? And if it's your priority, absolutely, unconditionally, you're there already. So what I hear you asking is, when Kira and I were talking, we said for everybody to give back. And how come people aren't? Well, what I was just explaining is it's like being a baby. We're stuck being a baby, that in order to survive, we've got to take. We need milk. We've got to be fed. We've got to be fed. And we get stuck at that stage. And then what we feel is, oh, I'm unhappy. So therefore, I need people to love me. Mm-hmm. I need a new car. I need a new car. That's a good idea, isn't it? And so we keep looking and stuffing ourselves. And I said, that's people get obese because they keep stuffing themselves. Mm-hmm. But they're not balancing it by letting it come in and letting it go out. And you're saying, what I hear you saying is, when somebody loves you, you feel good, but then it drains away. There's a hole in your bucket. The hole in your bucket is you are not seeing yourself clearly. You have part of you, which is your behavior, which is that part of your brain, that is judging you all the time. And that judgment is actually a phantom voice from your past. It's from your mother. It's with you, it's with your father, it's with your teacher, it's definitely with religion. Religion is always saying you're a sinner. You were born a sinner. Repent. So all the time, we're being told we're not enough. And so when you keep saying, so I've got to be something else, what you're saying is, I have to live up to the standard that somebody's given me. And they're not happy. The standard they've given me does not work for them, and yet you're trying to make it work for you. So you keep looking at yourself through other people's unhappy eyes, and all you see is unhappiness. And until you stop looking from anybody else's eyes and stop looking from your eyes, energizing any criticism and start saying, so this is who I am in this moment. This is who I am. And there will be a judgment there. Disconnect from the judgment. Whether it's a good judgment or a bad judgment. I've just done something for somebody. I've just been unkind. Whatever the judgment, disconnect and say, in this moment, this is who I am. And I am going to be with who I am. Not even accepting. I'm going to be. And when you do that, something alchemizes inside. Something changes inside. A whole new perspective sprouts and comes to life. It's in there all the time, but it's gone dormant because we haven't used it. It's like our psychic abilities and our telepathic abilities. We're not using them, so they've gone, they've atrophied, they're not working. Start to come and say, this is who I am in this moment. And you find a whole new energy arises in you. And if somebody says, I love you, you will feel a rush of energy. If somebody says, I hate you, you will feel something. But it'll go away so quickly because it's just an outside vibration that doesn't go deeply inside to know where you know. I am. And that I am is everything. Everything. The source. I am the source. I am that. The kingdom of God really is within. And all those voices, those criticisms, they're for people who haven't discovered that. Meet somebody who's discovered that in themselves, and you will never feel judged. You'll feel loved and accepted. Not in an active way. It'll just be a sense, an atmosphere around them. And it isn't even that I love you. It's that we are love. In some circumstances, I use the word accept, but you've got to go beyond accept. Accept has its opposite, unacceptable. So it's saying, I am doing something. It's of the mind, but that has to go. It's not accepting what's happening in the moment. It's being with what's happening in the moment. It doesn't have an opposite. There isn't a word for it, because being with is the opposite of being without. It's not that. It's just you and the moment are one. And you will be there for whatever happens, sensations, actions, words, thoughts, feelings, emotions, there. Yes. Oh, yes, there's this. Oh, yes, there's that. Oh, I just saw I contracted when they said that. Oh, I just expanded when they said that. You're not saying it, but you're with it. You're feeling it. You're sensing it. Yes, yes, yes. Oh, that's unpleasant. Oh, I don't like the thought of that. Yes, I don't like the thought of that. It's all a form of yes or no. That's not appropriate. Yes to the no. It's, in a way, it's all a form of yes, which is, as you say, not accepting. It's being with. Can you see now how the depth of your questions has moved? You're coming from a deeper place with your questions. You're getting a sense of something. And then the mind goes, oh, yeah, that looks good. How can I get there? But you can't get there, you see. Because when you say, how can I get there? What you're saying is, how can I not be here? I want to be there, but I don't want to be here. It's a fantasy. Unless you're here, there is no there. When you're here, there and here are one. Everything's one. No time, no past, no regrets. Sudden realization. Gosh, everything in my life brought me to this moment. And then comes the other thing. Gratefulness. Grateful. When anything comes up, especially complaints, say, and what's the other side? Except you're complaining. Yes, I'm complaining. And what else is there? There's always something else. Especially for us and people, you listening right now, we're blessed. It does seem as though there are different levels of living consciousness. You can see it with how different people live. And as you start to be with what's happening and be more present to the moment, you'll find that something starts to happen physically as well. You actually start to experience the physical differently. You start to pick up other levels in people, energy levels in them on many different levels. But in your own body, and this is what you can do, you can sit and just be there. Find a spot. Find a spot in your house or around or somewhere where you just sit and just see if you can sense a something, a sound, a tingle in the body. And when you tune into that, you will find that it's everywhere. It's in the air. It's everywhere. There is like a basic frequency. Everything has its own unique frequencies. But there is one. Oh, in the East they call it Om. There is one basic frequency. And if you're still quiet, accepting, you might find you start to feel that in the body. Then just outside of the body, And then you have a realization that everything is vibrating at a fundamental frequency. And then the peace that passeth all understanding.